A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to Horicon Bank for their partnership. Every week we spotlight people and projects that are keeping Milwaukee going, keeping downtown going this week, keeping downtown on the upswing, of course. Today we get to talk about Westtown, a part of town, part of downtown that's near and dear to my heart for sure. Two people are right in the middle of the evolution. Westtown Association Executive Director Stacy Calise, who's been championing the neighborhood from a business and event and quality of life standpoint for more than two decades. And then Kelly Kramer, who runs marketing for the Water Street Brewery Group, who's helping to drive the next chapter of not only Westtown's story, but greater downtown's story. Water Street Brewery Group owns two big Irish bars. Today is the big downtown St. Patrick's Day parade. They own the Harp and Trinity 3. They're ready for a big weekend for sure. They've helped build experiences that really have defined the neighborhood. Yes, St. Patrick's Day Parade is a big part of all this, but we're going to group it all together. You have the Milwaukee Night Market coming this summer. You have new developments in downtown Milwaukee. These aren't just fun events. They're economic engines that create opportunities for local vendors, for restaurants, for retailers, for property owners, all that are investing to make downtown Milwaukee bigger and better each and every day. So join us over the next hour. We're going to talk with Stacy and Kelly about what's working. We're going to talk about some of the challenges, too, in downtown Milwaukee. And we'll hook you up with what's next in Westtown, from events to activation, sponsorship, and more. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, our guest, joined in studio by Stacy Calise. Stacy is the executive director of the Westtown Association, the team behind today's St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Milwaukee Night Market, a whole lot more that's happening all along West Wisconsin Avenue. Westtown's job in so many ways, and Stacy, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but is to really create a feel for the Central Business District and to create a neighborhood in downtown Milwaukee with events and with placemaking and with partnerships. I'm honored to be a small part of this organization and on its board for years. But Stacy, tell us from your lens, and actually put yourself in a car driving down West Wisconsin Avenue. Someone who wants to know, all right, what are the borders of Westtown and what does Westtown do to kind of build mission in downtown Milwaukee?
For sure. So Westtown is actually, geographically, it's the western portion of the Central Business District. Okay. So it is the area west of the Milwaukee River. You'll see it's from the river to I-43, from McKinley to the Menominee River or St. Paul in the south. So that's a pretty big geographic border. But I think more figuratively, Westtown, this area, is really the economic heart of the city of Milwaukee when you think about it. It's where the business community, entertainment, culture all come together in downtown. We have many anchor institutions that are familiar with the public. We have Pfizer Forum. We have Third Street Market Hall. We have the Baird Center, Central Library. These are all very iconic parts of the Westtown neighborhood.
I mean, very much the economic and entertainment heart of pretty much the entire state. I mean, there's a lot happening in this district.
There for sure is. And then you think of the new, like, you have the Pfizer Forum, you have the new Landmark Live, you have Turner Hall, you have the expanded Baird Center, which brings thousands of people for different events to the city. It really is where people come to be entertained in the city of Milwaukee.
We're talking with Stacy Calise from the Westtown Association. So what's one thing that you'd say, wow, there's real momentum in Westtown? Give us what that lane is.
To me, it's really when you look at the rebirth of the West Wisconsin Avenue corridor over the last decade. When there's so many pieces of that, you know, invigoration of West Wisconsin Avenue. You have from this facility that we're in right now, the Avenue, which was a defunct vacant mall, which is now this new multi-use, you know, live, work, play facility that has the Third Street Market Hall. You have the Symphony's new home, the Bradley Symphony Center. You have all the residential development, so that adaptive reuse of out-of-date office space that is now, you know, driving huge residential density. You have public spaces like the Valar Phillips Plaza, and then, of course, the expanded Baird Center. All in all, in a decade, that is very monumental. And I think, you know, 10-plus years ago, we were talking about what can we do to reinvigorate this area, and it's just been pretty phenomenal at what's been happening. And I think it's really that perception and reinvigoration is really just driving a lot of activity in the entire Westtown neighborhood.
I would say if you haven't walked east down Wisconsin Avenue from Marquette all the way to the lake, you should, because there's just a lot of energy. There's a lot of new placemaking. There's a lot of new small, medium, and large businesses along the corridor, which is really exciting. And today, Saturday, another big thing along Wisconsin Avenue is the St. Patrick's Day Parade. 58th annual Shamrock Club of Wisconsin St. Patrick's Day Parade steps off at noon right here in downtown Milwaukee. So Westtown partners with Shamrock Club to make this happen. It's really the only parade in downtown Milwaukee now. Why is this parade endured when others have said, all right, you know, it's time to move, or it's time just to sunset?
Right. I think it's really the partnership between the Shamrock Club and the Westtown Association. You have the Shamrock Club, who have those deep ties to the Irish community. There's so much history there. It's a volunteer-driven organization. There couldn't be a group that's more passionate about their culture. And then you have Westtown with its deep ties to the business community. I mean, we have so many true business partners that are committed to making this event happen, from the large partners, you know, with our, you know, Guinness, who's a new sponsor of the event, the Baird Center, Visit Milwaukee, who have also sponsored the event, but even those small businesses along the route. I think that's really a cool part of it, where you look at the Third Street Entertainment District, and most of those small bars and restaurants are small sponsors of the parade. They're truly invested in it, and they have, as the event has evolved over the years, they have stayed committed and helped us make this event a reality. So together, I think the Shamrock Club in Westtown is just a wonderful partnership that continues to help this event endure.
So behind the scenes, where from an organizational standpoint, how do you pay for a parade like this? Is it sponsorship? Is it ongoing fundraising? I mean, you mentioned the partners, but, you know, paint that picture for us.
For sure. It's truly corporate sponsorship is the biggest piece of how you pay for a large public event like the St. Patrick's Parade. And I think, you know, from the outside perspective, people in the public probably don't really think about it. They probably think, well, there's probably someone at the city just, you know, writing a check or making this happen. No, it's really two nonprofit organizations, one that has full-time staff and one that's volunteer-driven. So it's really about these corporate sponsors that make this event possible. And that can, you know, be challenging in, you know, economic times where sponsorship isn't easy to attain. But so it's really about, truly, it's about corporate sponsors like Guinness, like Visit Milwaukee, like Jameson, that step up and say this event is really important to the city, but it's also important to our brand to ensure it continues.
Yeah, I mean, there are, like you said, there are a lot of costs, there's a lot of staffing, but there's obviously public appetite for community building events like this. So it is a full-time job. It is an ongoing year-long initiative, but with all the hard work, you get to step off a beautiful parade. You get to have the weekend before with the Shamrock Shuffle. You get to have the parade this weekend. And then you get another celebration on the 17th itself. So you're really helping drive business into the bars and restaurants.
For sure. It's really, about, for Westtown, it's about the economic impact. We bring 40,000 people to the streets of downtown Milwaukee. So those individuals support our small businesses along the route. They stay in our hotels. They park in our parking structures. And they eat at our restaurants. And it's truly about the economics of it. And so that's really why our organization continues to invest in it.
When we come back, Stacey, let's talk about other things that's driving growth in Westtown. I want to talk also about some of the maybe, I never like to use the word concerns, but, you know, some of the concerns and challenges in downtown and how your organization is tackling them. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Stacy Calise. Stacy is the executive director of the Westtown Association, the St. Patrick's Day Parade today, right here in Westtown. So, Stacy, as you look at downtown as a whole, you know, Westtown definitely has its own personality, from the avenue here where we're sitting to the Baird Center to the night market that's coming this summer, which we'll talk a little bit about later. When you look at, you know, maybe fun, creative perception challenges that people have about any downtown, how do you, when you talk to business owners and property managers in Westtown, how do you sense they're concerned about stuff that happens in any community, and how does your organization tackle that?
For sure. There's always those behaviors that kind of are woven into the fabric of urban life. And some of them can be, you know, a nuisance if you are living or operating a business here. Obviously, some of those things like, you know, panhandling aren't a fun experience for people visiting or operating here. I think we are very, you know, organized in terms of working with a cross sector of, you know, public officials. We have the Milwaukee Police Department. We have some homeless outreach individuals that are trained in social work and that are really working on housing the unsheltered population, which is really important. The Milwaukee County and the City of Milwaukee really are invested in the Housing First model to house our unsheltered population, which has really reduced that population over the last 5 years. All of those things help. So it's these partnerships with organizations like Westtown to tackle those very complex systemic nuisance issues that really exist in most urban environments.
Right. I mean, because you want to show compassion, but also keep the sidewalks welcoming and safe for everyone. From a city and organization standpoint, are there constructive ways to look at mitigating panhandling?
Well, I think when you look at those nuisance issues from an urban planning standpoint, it's really about, in many ways, you're acknowledging that it's probably never going to go away. It's more about crowding out that behavior so you have more body heat, population density to make it seem less imposing as someone who's walking down a sidewalk. When you're alone on a street with someone who's panhandling, it makes you feel perhaps a little unsafe. But if you're there in a crowd of 50 people, it just kind of changes your feeling. A lot of times panhandlers, you know, aren't up to nefarious things. They're just trying to, you know, gain some money to do whatever. And so it's not a dangerous situation, but it may make you feel a little uncomfortable. So it's really about kind of crowding out that behavior. So as someone who's a pedestrian in the public realm, it doesn't feel like you're in any sort of danger.
Yeah. We're talking with Stacy Calise, the executive director of the Westtown Association. So Stacy, on the convention side for the city, a new study suggests that 650 room headquarter hotel to match the expansion of the Baird Center and keep bigger events here and create even more big events here is needed. So from maybe where you sit and from your chair, do you think Westtown needs another convention hotel? And I don't know, are there other trade-offs there too that we should be looking at from a community standpoint?
And I really think, well, Westtown Association has not, for the record, taken a position on this convention center hotels. We work very closely with the convention center, with the Baird Center, with our downtown hotels, the Hyatt, the Hilton, which are connected to the convention center. What I do know is that the activity in the expanded Baird Center is driving some remarkable economic impact to the rest of the Westtown neighborhood. I mean, Milwaukee's really growing as a leisure market, so you see a lot of like summer activity. But what the Baird Center is doing in those off months, you know, especially when you look at like maybe the first quarter of the year in terms of youth sports and volleyball, the anime that just happened, which I heard anecdotally was bringing 20,000 people a day through the convention center. That is really impactful to the rest of the small businesses in the neighborhood. And so, you know, we just really want to continue to support the Baird Center and that activity because it's just so important to driving the rest of downtown.
I'll say if you only work in downtown Milwaukee or only visit on occasion, come for a weekend, especially when there's a youth volleyball tournament. Like the number of people, the vibrancy, the density, it makes the city feel different in a wonderful way, and it adds so much activity. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but creating more density and discovery and development is what good downtowns do. Speaking of development, another thing Westtown does is the Milwaukee Night Market. Summer isn't too far away. It doesn't totally feel like it right now, but the Night Market is right around the corner. Tell us what the 2026 Night Market will bring.
The 2026 Night Market will again see the four events, June, July, August, September. So we hold it once per month, 4 to 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. And what it really does is transform West Wisconsin Avenue to really reflect all that Milwaukee has to offer. So there's about 120 plus local vendors that are comprised of different food makers, entrepreneurs, your favorite Milwaukee food trucks, all lined up on the avenue. And along with the lineup of entertainment that we create, it creates this truly special place for the city to come together. This year, we're right now in our vendor curation process. So we're actually, as an organization, going through the 500 plus applications for vendors that we have to choose a variety to be featured at the event. We're doing our big push for corporate sponsors. So looking for new partners that want to be involved in this very authentic Milwaukee experience.
It's really Milwaukee's gathering place. I mean, there's such a great diversity of people, not only from different backgrounds, but you get the 68-year-old CEO walking alongside the 14-year-old right down Wisconsin Avenue. It's always so much fun. And to your point, what, 20, 30,000 people per event?
For sure. I mean, we're using a AI tool called Placer to really gauge that. And so that's not always easy at large public events.
Right.
But this tool is telling us we're getting from 20 to 30,000 people in that 5-hour timeline each night market, which is truly impactful when you look at it being about a 3-block area in downtown. It's a lot of people coming and going in a short amount of time. And so really an excellent place for the city to come together.
All right. Can we do a couple final questions here, Stacey?
For sure.
All right. If you could, I was like to say, you know, if you can snap your fingers and fix one policy or a systems issue that would unlock more vibrancy in downtown Milwaukee, what would that one change be? I know.
This one,
you know,
is,
it's
you
tough.
Got me stumped.
But you got to come up with something.
There's just so many, Jeff. Like, one policy. I think thing as a state, and I guess I would look at our property taxes and I hear this a lot from commercial property owners in downtown and even residential. City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County have relatively high property taxes. That can be seen as a barrier to development. And, you know, when that's really truly connected to what we do at Westtown. And so when we want to continue to push momentum forward in our area of downtown, I think, you know, that would be a heavy lift because we have fiscal constraints as a community. But I think, you know, if there's some way to really shift the property tax burden and spread that out so that our commercial and residential property owners aren't bearing the brunt, that would be really helpful and catalytic for our downtown.
Take a big swing on a big issue. I like it. The most underrated thing happening in Westtown right now, maybe something that people aren't talking about?
Well, I'd like to give a plug to a small business that just opened, Giraffe & Co. in the city-owned Velar Phillips Plaza. Nat DeVauer, who operates the Giraffe & Vessels in Tosa and Shorewood, he is just such a great entrepreneur, and he's now brought that formula to downtown Milwaukee with Draft & Co. And, you know, not just having draft beer and craft cocktails like he does at his other locations, he has a full menu of smash burgers that are on point and just becoming a true gathering place for our neighborhood. And I'm just so excited to have one of his venues in our downtown. He will be out on parade day doing what he does with his, you'll probably recall that he has the little draft truck at the public market. He'll have that outside pouring Guinness. So I really can't say enough about that as a new kind of third place in the neighborhood and gathering place for Westtown.
All right.
So check it out.
Very good. So finally, you're coming downtown from home, going to Fiserv Forum for an event, maybe a Bucks game. Where do you park?
I definitely park at 310W, which to the public, they would know that as the Blue Building, the old Royce Federal Plaza. Yeah. To me, it is the best place to park. So you're about three blocks to the south of Fiserv Forum. Mm-hmm. I mean, full disclosure, I have a parking spot there.
That helps.
But I definitely see that that's becoming a great destination because they have affordable parking rates, but you can get in and out quickly after the events. It's not as jammed up as the parking facilities right connected or adjacent to Fiserv Forum, and it's a little more affordable. So I'd say check that out. But then you could also, it allows you to stop over at Third Street Market Hall before the event that you're going at. So, you know, that to me is just, you know, it's very walkable. I think people think, wow, I can't walk from Wisconsin Avenue to Fiserv Forum, but it's really only four
blocks. It's a straight shot, yeah. And that perception is always super important. Perception might be it's far, but it's super close and it's super convenient. And as you said, a little bit more affordable, which is a good thing. All right, Stacey, I appreciate your time. All the best with the parade today, the night market this summer, and everything else that you do. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Kelly Kramer. Kelly is the digital media and marketing manager for the Water Street Brewery Group. Let me make sure, Kelly, that I have all the entities correct here. Trinity Three Irish Pubs, The Harp, Vagabond, Water Street Brewery locations. There are four in the area, one with a different name downtown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I got all that right. Legacy family entity, R.C. Schmidt's 50 years of shaping Milwaukee nightlife. And that legacy really kind of goes into everything you do. And I wanted to just kind of start our conversation that way, Kelly. Like, how does the history of what R.C. and his family built kind of play into your marketing each and every day?
Well, it's fun because I grew up born and raised in Milwaukee. My dad used to go to R.C.'s in the 70s and the Harp in the 80s, early 90s. Lived downtown. I live at the Blatts now, right across from our places.
And the MSOE campus.
Yeah. So it's a 30-second walk for me to work. And I got the privilege to, I used to go to R.C.'s just, I had a nice little time range there. And it's just great working with a company that has this history and has stayed in this business for so long. You know, Milwaukee, or we were the first brew pub in Milwaukee in 1987.
Right on Water Street, now called, now kind of rebranded the into the brewery, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. All right. So what, from your marketing lens and what you do day to day, what works in modern restaurant bar marketing to get people to locations? Is it different by location? I mean, you have Grafton, you have Delafield, you have Oak Creek, you have downtown. How do you kind of micro niche your marketing into those different segments?
Well, it's fun. That gives a reason to find new lenses and scope of how to promote. And for the suburbs, it can be a little different, and downtown, obviously, different. And we have different vibes at all our spots. And you know, using this like as a nostalgia factor in everything always helps. It's big these days.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun project to have different styles of bars and, you know, working with people in the city.
Do you feel like you position differently maybe on your social media platforms downtown versus suburbs, or is it kind of the same entity and same food, same drinks, same people?
We switch it up a little bit, and especially downtown in the past year, we're utilizing more of these relationships, say, with Visit Milwaukee, Milwaukee Magazine, the Admirals. And then even at this in the suburbs, we work with content creators or like sponsor Little League teams, charities, foundations. And then we focus on our beer and our food at those places. So it's fun and exciting getting to use all these different strategies.
Kelly Kramer from the Water Street Brewery Group joins us. So, Kelly, today is Parade Day. The St. Patrick's Day Parade returns through downtown and Westtown. Tens of thousands of people on the street. Trinity 3 and the Harp are the Irish anchors of this parade, you could say. How do you plan digital campaigns around the parade? And maybe, like, all right, you got a ton of people in line. I saw last weekend for the Shamrock Shuffle, like, you had lines up. There were lines.
Crazy.
How do you turn kind of those event-driven customers into ongoing repeat visits in March, April, May, June?
Well, for Parade Day, we did this VIP giveaway. So we have a couple spots right outside it. We call it the Irish Intersection, Harp and Trinity Three Irish Pubs. And we want to keep these people coming in and get the Irish feel of our bars back, which that's what we're really trying to harness and do. We're doing some pour your own Guinness at Trinity, music at Trinity. And that's going to be an upcoming thing, hopefully, is doing some more live music and putting that Guinness in your hand or one of our Water Street Brewery beers. And just the amount of people on the street on parade day like today is insane.
Yeah, it's super fun. And it's got to be fun to market such a legacy institution like the Harp, too. I mean, the Harp has been there forever on the river, really draws from a cross section of people. Again, you have the CEOs there after work, you have the 20 somethings there because of the beautiful patio.
Yeah. I mean, the Harp has been in Milwaukee since, what, I think it's on my hat here. So it's
1965.
1965. So it's been a long time. And we took over ownership in 2008.
Okay.
And like I said, my dad used to go there. He used to have a Harp burger there. That patio in the summer, it just can't be beat. And then we started this new Irish gallery wall up front. It's getting back to those roots of a Harp, an Irish pub, a retro dive bar, a little mix of both, and just make home is where the Harp is what we like to say.
I like it. Home is where the Harp is. So when we come back, Kelly, I want to ask you a little bit. We'll talk Guinness first because I'm a big fan of the Guinness NA. I think all the NA beers are out there, it really stays true to the alcoholic version. So I want to get your take from kind of a Gen Z, younger audiences are choosing maybe fewer drinks, drinking a little less. I want to see how that is working into the brewery and the pub DNA at your establishments. We're talking with Kelly Kramer. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today is Parade Day in downtown Milwaukee, the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade. Kelly Kramer joins us from the Water Street Brewery Group. A couple of big Irish pubs right on the river that are seeing huge crowds today. Kelly, as you look at your business, and I mentioned it right before the break, are you seeing a change in drinking habits, selling more NAs, selling more
Mocktails,
if you will? Have you seen that, or are we a little kind of isolated from that trend, if you will, in Milwaukee and Wisconsin?
No, you could see a little bit of it, but I think a lot of it is people are picking out healthier stuff or additive free spirits, stuff like that.
Yeah. And more conscious of the ingredients.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a thing even growing up, too. It's sometimes you used to order just give me whatever, but now you want to, you pay for your drink.
Yeah.
And also with mocktails and all of our drinks, they're, reasonably priced, and then we want them to look like our cocktails.
Mm.
So it makes everybody feel more comfortable when you can order a mocktail and it looks like you're drinking a nice margarita. Right. And at the same time, it just tastes really good.
From a price standpoint, are you pricing those similarly?
They're cheaper. But then sometimes when you do the additive free spirits or stuff like that you can, it is you're paying for those bottles.
Right.
But they're a similar price point. Usually mocktails are cheaper.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that is they're just delicious. You can
as I mentioned, really
have fun with
like,
the.
If I'm getting a Guinness NA, it tastes just like a regular Guinness, but maybe it's a couple dollars cheaper, which I'm not sure. From an economic standpoint, just price them the same. Like, make more money. Come on.
Right. Hey, that's what we need.
All right. So about 6 years ago, Vagabond, like a lot of places, closed down for lunch. Vagabond is, kind of a taco truck restaurant type, just outside of the Milwaukee River in downtown Milwaukee, very near the Marcus Center. But you just reopened for lunch in downtown Milwaukee.
Opening for lunch coming up soon.
Okay. All right.
About mid-April.
My bad. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So you just announced that you're going to open
they
for
just
lunch again.
It's out in the world. And,
all right.
You know, we want anywhere from office people, visitors. There's always, you know, so many conventions in town. You could even have your service industry workers that are like sitting around for the day, get some takeout, come in, enjoy some lunch, anything like that.
So where are you hoping that additional demand comes from then? And what do you look like from a metric standpoint? And once you open the first like 60, 90 days, is it, you know, the amount of tables, the amount of turns? Like, what makes like, wow, we've held off on lunch for 6 years in downtown Milwaukee. Now we're back, but you got to monitor it each and every day.
We do, and it's customers have been asking for it. So it's a way to reach out to local businesses because that's a thing of, you know, more people are getting back in an office or getting downtown, which you love to see it. Like, and like I said, I live downtown.
Yeah.
It's good to see people walking the streets. We want people to, you know, come in, get back to work. It's affordable price points, and you know, it's just you don't have to go somewhere fancy for lunch. You just come in, have some tacos, get out, go back to work, and then maybe come by for happy hour.
All right, very good. Well, I love to see it. You know, we lived downtown for years, and obviously work downtown. It is good to have more options for lunch, for sure, and the grab and go options at maybe a little lower price point, I think, are a good thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So, from your dashboard, what are you seeing for other trends in the dining and drinking world for the rest of the year, Kelly?
A lot of things we see is, you know, people are coming for an experience, not just to belly up at a bar. People are playing games. They want to be interactive, you know, be a part of something. It's like even at Trinity Three Irish Pubs, we do a social club every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's $5 snack plates, $5 especially martinis.
Yeah.
People bring decks of cards. They, you know, that's what you see. And that's what I kind of like to see around these places. It's people are just being more interactive, having fun.
Do you get the general sense that the greater Milwaukee dining and drinking scene is healthy now? I think we can see that, ooh, this place closed or that place closed. And it creates, I think, sometimes the perception that, oh my gosh, places are closing all over. The reality is places open and close all the time.
Yeah, and that's the beauty and why I love working with this place is, you know, we've been around forever. Our restaurant group and bar group, you know, we've been staying open, and you just see every range from like a healthy spot to like bar food, because that's Milwaukee too.
Yeah.
You want a range of different things, and we have a great food scene here. We have a great bar scene. It's just, and it's a big tight-knit community too in the service industry and all the bars.
Yeah, that's good. There really is collaboration back and forth. I mean, yes, there's competition for talent, but there's competition for talent everywhere.
Exactly.
And oftentimes people say, hey, do you have a great server? Do you have a great bartender? You know, you can work at one place, you can work at another place. There is good collaboration in the industry. I've seen that, and that's a testament to, I think, kind of what we are as a community.
Yeah, and that's what's great about our spots. We have multiple, like, bartender servers who will work one spot, work another. And that gives you a chance. As a former bartender, it's you get a little change of pace and variety. It goes a long way.
Yeah. Kelly, if I gave you that magic wand to change one thing about the environment in restaurants or bars in Milwaukee or Wisconsin, like a policy or a perception or an infrastructure issue, what would that be? Like, what's that thing that's just like, wow, from a business standpoint, I need this to change?
I mean, I think it's that downtown and this surrounding area, it's a safe place to be. There's, like I said, I live down here. I see families down here walking around. There's the Marcus Center. There's Bucks games. There's the new Landmark Theater. There's so much countless stuff. And we're right about to hit spring and summer. Yeah. We work with the MPD very closely, the city. And, you know, sometimes things can get, like, sensationalized a little bit. And we just know that – and all of our spots, you know, can be – someone for everywhere to go. Is like we the brewery, you know, your family can come there and play, and then at night, you know, everyone it's for a social life. And there's just a lot of things going around, and Milwaukee is, you know, been over the last 30 years just growing so much, so it's been great.
Very good. Kelly Kramer from the Water Street Brewery Group. Kelly, can we close out with a couple lightning round questions?
For sure.
Today, green beer, yes or no?
100%.
All right. Favorite fish fry in the area?
Ooh, probably. I mean, I was at the brewery and it's right. great, but so I'll go like spit off his, you know, Swingin' Door, okay. Pete's Pub.
All right.
Love those spots.
Swingin' Door, kind of still a hidden gem for sure.
Yeah.
Best social media platform?
I mean, that's right now, obviously, you know, TikTok is growing and growing and growing. Using Instagram is a great little feature with the reels and collab posts and everything. So that's kind of right in my alley.
So if I'm in a tavern in Wisconsin, how much is too much to pay for a beer?
Depending on, you know, barrel-aged beers, you could pay a pretty penny for and maybe only have one because it's...
Define pretty penny. What, $20?
That's too much.
No, okay. All right. So I'm not paying $20 for a beer
that's
ever.
Too much.
Other than your places, what's your favorite bar in Wisconsin and why?
I feel like that's pretty easy. It's Elwood's. It's right next to our spot. My buddy Nate owns it. Sam Chung is the GM there. Yep. Great. The environment's great. It's, you know, dive bar, retro. And it's right next door to me, and I love it there.
Convenience drives a lot of things. Kelly Kramer, Water Street Brewery Group, appreciate your time. All the best with the parade today and the coming spring and summer season.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Finally, a thought. All right, I got a final thought here. I need to get this out into the world. Wisconsin is considering legalizing online sports betting. We got to make sure that some of this revenue goes back into the places where we actually play. Let me paint the picture for you here. I often take runs through Lake Park. Lake Park, that beautiful Milwaukee's oldest and most significant public park, designed in the 19th century. By the same architect that did New York Central Park. Lake Park is awesome. I run there, and just last weekend, I saw this big sign with a QR code saying they needed $200,000 to restore a neighborhood set of tennis courts at Lake Park. Now, what if we had a public fund that could help create opportunities for local facilities that have fallen? Don't even get me started on basketball courts and baseball fields all over the state. But there's a lot of places that need love. So imagine if we had a small, dedicated share of this coming soon sports gaming money that would all feed in to a Love Our Courts style fund that would repair and upgrade courts and fields and gyms all across the state. So the communities don't have to pass the hat every time that, you know, a surface cracks or a net falls apart. Like, we don't have to ask for $200,000 to repair tennis courts because we'd have proceeds from something we are collaboratively looking to do as a state right now. I don't know. This is a proposition I have. It could be the Democrats. It could be the Republicans. Everyone working together. So if we're going to make a bet on sports in the state of Wisconsin, I'll say we need to bet on the next generation of players to create a fund that lasts to keep our courts and keep our fields alive. Consider it. Next week on The Upswing, we're going back to Marquette for Marquette on the Move.